Hare Krishna. I'm very grateful to each and every one of you all for coming here. Very grateful to His Grace Ajay Chaitanya Prabhu, Acharya Ratna Prabhu, and all these wonderful Vaishnavas for having invited me here to spend some time with you all. Today what we're going to be doing is some training for understanding what is preaching and how to really help people get connected to Krishna consciousness in a healthy spirit. How many of you are here are involved in any ways in preaching? Namanta programs or, you know, actually connecting with new people and things like that? Okay, to a certain extent. Wonderful. So, just to give you a statutory warning, this is not like your regular Bhagavatam classes or your Gita class or anything else. This is going to be more like a interactive session where I'm going to speak based on whatever my understanding is of preaching, and then we can open it up for discussions and things like that. So I will present to you a model that is a healthy model for what it really means to do preaching, what it really means to be a preacher. And then so today I will be presenting you this model. This model is called as MMOT model, you know. I'll tell you what it means later. But essentially, if anybody understands this model properly and anybody is able to follow this model in their lives properly, they can become ideal preachers. They can really be instrumental in connecting people to Krishna consciousness, and people will really be inspired by the way they connect. So, in order for us to be able to appreciate this whole thing properly, I'm going to use the charts, you know, the whiteboard and the charts. Hopefully all of you will be able to see the charts. So if you are not able to see, maybe you can come closer. You can see, depending on whether you can't see. If you can't see, you can come closer, and if you can see, it's fine. Essentially, what is preaching? The scriptures always talk the word prachar. Before the word prachar comes the word achar. That means a preacher should be a first-class follower himself, you know. So essentially, what is preaching? Preaching is teaching by example. Srila Prabhupada once said, the best preacher is a happy devotee. So more than, you know, preaching with words and things like that, if you are happy, then people want to become like you. But what happens is, many times, we are inspired to preach, but ourselves very sad. So, how much ever you tell, you take this book and you'll be happy. That fellow will ask first, why you are not happy? He say, no, for me, formula is different. I am telling you formula that you can be happy, you know. So, many times, we tell people that this will solve all the problems of your life. This whole concept will make you happy, you know. The question is, people want to know, what about you? So before you can tell others, chant Hare Krishna and be happy, you should be happy chanting Hare Krishna. If you are miserable, then how much ever you preach to others, that will just bounce back. It's like a boomerang, you know. So essentially, I am going to speak today about a whole concept of behind which preaching is involved, you know. So I am not going to just speak about how to give good presentations. That is the easier part. That probably we can discuss tomorrow. But today what I'm going to speak about is essentially what it involves to be a preacher. If anybody says, I want to preach, what it means, the whole siddhanta behind preaching is what we will discuss today. So in between when I'm speaking, if somebody has questions, you are most welcome to put up your hand and ask. And if I feel that the answer is going to come soon during the course of whatever presentation I'm making, I'll tell you, and if not, I'll just immediately answer with there only.
Does he glue that?
Manohan, he's expert.
No problem. He's stuck, he's stuck.
Can I remove it? Or is it a wireless? Okay.
Tomorrow क्या होगा कल मनवान
ओके
ओके tomorrow क्या होगा wireless
can you lose
हाँ remove it then
I'm going to speak about self-expression. So for self-expression, I should be free, you know. So I got rid of the stand first. So essentially, preaching starts from the concept of what is known as self-expression. So there are three forms of self-expression.
Be careful, permanence also.
Pardon?
It is
not
permanence.
You sure?
White
one? Temporary.
Marks
anything.
Prize
instrument.
Okay. Permanent.
Permanent. That's what I'm saying. Because I saw the sign.
Yeah, because
there's a sign for permanence.
Okay, I'll use this. Okay. No problem.
This is.
So
I will
bring the. My own sucks out.
No problem.
Okay.
So. Self-expression means three things.
Okay.
Self-development, loving relationships, and service attitude. So, if you study nature, nature teaches us a lot about what is self-expression. Self-expression essentially means bringing out what is within us, completely being able to express oneself. That is what is self-expression. If you study in nature, if you have seen a cuckoo bird, anybody knows what a cuckoo bird is? In Mauritius, I don't know, cuckoo birds are there. Anyway, is there any bird in Mauritius that sings very sweetly? There's no words. Oh my God. Dodo doesn't sweet sing, right? Dodo is extinct. Anyway, if you hear any bird singing, you know, singing of birds, now tell me one thing, do the birds get paid for singing?
No.
But if you see the enthusiasm with which they sing, they really put a lot of energy into their singing. You know, in India, there's this bird called cuckoo. It really puts a lot of energy. Cuckoo, cuckoo. It just goes, volume increases, 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 increases. Now, this is exactly what is known as self-expression. Self-expression essentially means that being able to express yourself completely. And when somebody does self-expression, you don't expect anything in return. That's what self-expression essentially means, you know. If you express something in return, it's not really fully self-expression. Like for example, a tree gives fruits. Does that tree consume the fruit that it gives? No. The river gives water. Does the river actually drink the water that it gives? No. It just gives out. It just shares. You know. So essentially, every human being should have what is known as self-expression. We have all kinds of skills. In the Gita, Krishna speaks about yatya vibhuti mansattvam. The concept of vibhuti means excellences. Each one of us have some excellences or some qualities that is inherent in us, that is God given. So when we use those qualities for self-aggrandizement, most people use their qualities for self-aggrandizement. That means they use it for their own pleasure. They use it for their own sense gratification. So whenever you the qualities are utilized for the sake of the world, then there is what is known as self-satisfaction. So self-expression leads to self-satisfaction. So essentially, what is preaching? Preaching is essentially self-expression. So preaching involves these three things. When one expresses oneself completely, you know what essentially happens? He feels satisfied. So preaching is not for the world. It is for us. That is the first thing we have to remember. So when we preach, when we give the message of Krishna consciousness to others, we are not only trying to help the world. First thing is, we are trying to help ourselves. Therefore, the foundation of good preaching is self-development. So here, self-expression contains three things. I'll explain each one of these three things. First is self-development. What is self-development? Self-development essentially happens through four things. One is known as physical. The second is known as emotional. The third is intellectual. And the fourth is spiritual. If we are not developed with all the four, then we will not be effective as preachers. Many people feel preaching is just speaking. But before being able to speak, whether we are developed in these four qualities is what we need to understand. What is physical? Physical means fitness, health-wise, and in terms of being able to carry yourself. You know, Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives this formula, you know. Health first, then seva, sorry, health first, then japa, then seva. This is Bhaktivinoda Thakur's formula, you know. This is not something that I find. Can you imagine Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the Acharya, the, you know, one of the param founders of the whole Hare Krishna Andolan. His formula is health first, then japa, then seva. So people are enthusiastic to serve, but if you do not take care of physical fitness, that means health, you cannot serve for long. Our Hare ISKCON movement has seen people who have really pushed their body hard to serve in the initial phase of ISKCON. Many of them are not there now. The reason being, they pushed themselves so hard that their health collapsed. And because their health collapsed, they cannot continue the japa, nor they can continue the seva. So one of the first things that one must focus on is on physical fitness. That means there has to be development physically. The second thing is emotional development. What is the meaning of emotional development? Emotional development means basically intrinsic security. Unless we feel safe, unless we feel cared for, unless we feel nourished, you can't give out. You cannot cultivate others. So many times what happens is that at this level, there is a lot of insecurity. The community has to feel secure, has to feel safe, has to feel nourished, has to feel cared for. If emotional stability is not there, then how much ever you preach, at some point of time, you will find, you know, especially when it comes to counseling others, when it comes to guiding others, if there is very strong emotional unbalance, then such people are not able to really help others in a long-term way. And plus, if emotional stability is not there, you go and preach to somebody, their problem will become your problem. And then you'll become depressed, you know. Now, I know so many people who go to help others, but they come back depressed completely, you know. I mean, every time you go and help others, you come back depressed. That means your emotional stability is not there. So if your stability is not there, how can you help others stably? Therefore, there has to be a cultivation of emotional stability also. And that emotional stability comes in an environment which is filled with love, in an environment which is filled with care, and in an environment that actually nourishes one's inner aspects. So basically, the whole concept of preaching is concept of empathy. I always tell this, we have heard the word Veda. Veda means knowledge. Have you heard of the word Vedana? Anybody has heard the word Vedana? Vedana means suffering of others. So essentially, many times, people have knowledge of the Vedas, but But unfortunately, those who have knowledge of the Vedas not necessarily understand the Vedana of others. If you do not understand the Vedana of others, how much ever you know Veda, it's useless. So Veda has to be accompanied with compassion, with empathy. What is the meaning of empathy? Empathy essentially means that you put yourself in the shoes of another person and experience what that person is feeling. If you study the entire history of anybody who has been good preachers, like for example, Sanatana Goswami, you study his life. Why is even now Sanatana Goswami's birthday celebrated as Guru Purnima? In Vrindavan, millions of people celebrate his birthday as Guru Purnima. You know why? Because he was one person who not only knew the Vedas, but he knew what is the meaning of Vedana of others. What people are going through in their lives. So therefore, Sanatana Goswami's preaching was not so much giving lectures. He was speaking of simple Brajavasis. His preaching was essentially being compassionate to their needs, interests and concerns. Being very, very kind to people. So he knew every Brajavasi. He knew every Brajavasi's problem. And he knew, you know, what it really took to help them in their needs, interests and concerns. So, one time, there was a small girl. This girl was, you know, she came back from a school. She was, I think, 4 or 5 years old. She came back from a school and she started crying. She told her mother that I want to shave my head. And the mother was surprised, you know, where did this new thing come from, shave my head? So she said, no, we will not. The girl said, no, I have to. She was crying like crazy. So the mother finally had to agree and they, you know, got her head shaved. The next day, the mother went with her to school to find out what happened really to this girl. You know what she found out? She found out that this girl went and sat near one boy, that same class, 5-6 year old boy. His head also was shaved. So the mother found out that this boy has cancer. And because he went through that chemo and the radiation, he lost all his hair. And all the children in the class were making fun of that boy. And this girl, she wanted to just give company to that boy. Therefore she shaved and came, you know. So essentially, who is the person who understands Vedas properly? The person who also understands the Vedana of the world. Therefore, knowledge of the scriptures, when it is not accompanied by compassion, it becomes arrogance. So there are so many people who know scriptures, but they don't have any compassion in the heart, they become extremely arrogant of the scriptures. And therefore, if you study any of our acharyas, along with being knowledgeable of the scriptures, they also are knowledgeable of people's sufferings. They also are knowledgeable about what people are going through. And they have compassion about it. That's emotional balance. But unfortunately, that kind of compassion cannot come out if you are only compassionate about yourself. If you are constantly feeling sorry for yourself, how will you feel sorry for the world? Therefore, intrinsic security is very important for us to become good preachers. The third thing is known as intellectual development. So basically, intellectual development essentially is many things. Here comes the ability to plan. So essentially, you can say planning, communication, skills, knowledge. So essentially, we have to be equipped to be able to preach. That means it's not just about feeling compassion for others. It's not just about feeling that I want to help, but it's also about actually preparing yourself for it. That means if certain skills are needed to be able to preach, you have to work on those skills. It is not that I just spontaneously go and start whatever I want and it will work. No, we have to prepare ourselves. That means we have to prepare ourselves in acquiring knowledge, in acquiring skills, in being able to communicate properly. You may know everything. There are so many people who know everything, but they don't know how to present it, how to give it out. Therefore, that knowledge is not much use. Definitely, it is useful to oneself. But in terms of preaching, in terms of being able to help others, it's not of much use because you're not able to communicate what you want to speak. Yeah, I know people who exactly know what answer to give for a certain question. But unfortunately, they don't know how to give that answer because they have not worked on preparing themselves. So this is intellectual development. And the fourth thing is known as spiritual development. In spiritual development, essentially, so this is the root where all self-development takes place. In fact, if this root is strongly taken care of, the other things becomes much easier to develop, you know. So the first thing is, in spiritual development, there are five things. First is known as siksha. The second is known as sangha. The third is known as seva. The fourth is known as sadhana, and the fifth is known as sankirtan. So essentially, siksha means knowledge again, but this is deep philosophical knowledge. That means we should have thorough understanding of the scriptures. Just like I was telling you, that people love to dispute books, but they don't know what is there in the book. So if you tell, while distributing the book, if you tell somebody, please take this book has solution to all your problems. That fellow will ask, what is there in the book? They say, I don't know, but I know for sure that this book has solution to all your problems. That doesn't make sense, you know. You have to know what is there in the book. Therefore, Prabhupada says that his devotee should be like, should know the Gita and the Bhagavad, like lawyers know the law books. Now, exactly which section, which verse is there, you can quote. So basically, if you do not have siksha, if you do not have proper knowledge, you will not have the confidence to preach. I tell you, my father, you know, amazing devotee, but he doesn't invest time in studying scriptures, you know. He doesn't like to study only. But he likes to listen to Prabhupada's classes. So he hears a few classes of Prabhupada and he goes out and preaches. And Prabhupada's classes, you know, he takes out a sword and starts whacking at people, you know. You are a donkey, you are a monkey, you are a pig and whatnot, you know. And when he comes back, he means, I have done solid preaching. I watched them thoroughly, you know. And this is what we say, na? Operation successful, patient died. So they are very confident that they have done good operation. Whether the patient is alive or not, I don't know. I don't care also. I am only concerned about my operation, you know. So people love to preach, but unfortunately, they don't love to study that much. So if you don't invest time in studying, then what will come out will be just your understanding or your little bit here and there what you read, you know, you will throw it out. I can assure you one thing. If you don't do enough study, you cannot convince and transform hearts. Because what has to come out from your mouth has to be something that goes in. Nothing that goes in, I mean, unless something goes in, it can't come out. So many people, they want to speak, but unfortunately they don't take sufficient in. Therefore, there has to be adhyan, there has to be study of the scriptures, which has to be really intense. And the more intensely you study scriptures, you study Prabhupada's life, you know. How many years did Prabhupada prepare himself to be able to preach? He started preaching when he was 55, practically. You know, 55 is when he actually started preaching. So, he invested a whole lifetime, almost 30 years of study, before he actually started preparing and speaking, you know. And even after that, it's not that 55 onwards he stopped studying. He continued studying. His whole contribution of Bhagavatam was only after 55, practically. So, which essentially means that Prabhupada spent a whole lifetime studying scriptures. And that's when his message was so powerful and could transform people's hearts. So therefore, who are we to think that few years of hearing and few years of studying here and there, bits and pieces, will be able to transform people's hearts? Not possible. Therefore, there has to be sufficient intake to be able to give out. Before the well gives out, the well fills itself. So unless the well is filled up, it cannot give out nectar. So therefore, siksha is the first thing that is important for self-development, for spiritual self-development. And I'll tell you one thing. My experience has been that in ISKCON, we give a lot of emphasis to kirtan, which is essentially the most important thing in spiritual life. No doubt about it. But personally, my personal experience has been, and I have heard so many senior devotees speaking the same thing, More important than Kirtan in the initial stages is hearing good quality Krishna Katha. Hearing extremely good quality Krishna Katha. It's extremely important for spiritual growth. Because Kirtan gives you absorption. But hearing Krishna Katha gives you inspiration. So we need not only absorption, but we also need inspiration to grow in spiritual lives. And especially inspiration that is deeply seated. That inspiration is what nourishes us and takes us forward. So my suggestion is that we should really develop on this siksha aspect. The second is known as sangha. Sangha is essentially friendship. So one of the important aspects of third development is having good friends among devotees. So the formula that works is 20% we need association of seniors, 20% we need association of juniors, and 60% with the association of equals for healthy spiritual growth. So many times people feel that I only need seniors in my life. I don't need equals, I don't need juniors. I only need seniors because seniors can take me ahead. You know what happens? When you're with a senior, you're at your best. So naturally, you try to project yourself as best as possible. But when you're the equal, you're exactly the way you are. So the equal is the one who can actually help you. Yeah. Seniors, they see you in the best form. Yeah. So those in you so many anarthas, we are expert in hiding anarthas in front of seniors. And we go first class, Dhoti Kurta, Panti, Tilak, you know, and it's a Prabhuji, and you know, we are like really there, you know. But essentially, real purification happens among equals. When equals can really point out, see, this is your anartha. Therefore, people have a lot of issues being with equals. Because equals point out your defects, you know. So, therefore, many times in the association of neophytes, in the association of people who are equal to us, we feel very insecure. We feel very secure in the association of seniors, and we feel extremely secure in the association of juniors. Because in both, even association of seniors encourage us like anything. You know, seniors have that power to uplift us and encourage us. And they have the power to see beyond our anarthas. They see the good in us. And they only increase the good in us, which is extremely important for us. And juniors, they see you as God only practically, you know. They see, Arey, Prabhuji has come, Mataji has come, you know. They are like worshipping us all the time. We love that. The false ego loves that experience, you know. So, people love to be with the seniors and juniors because both in one sense, they kind of pamper our false ego a little bit, you know. Seniors do it to encourage us. And juniors do it because they feel that we are genuinely advanced. But unfortunately, we know what we are, you know. Therefore, the best people who can actually help us are equals. So Sangha association essentially means Sangha of good friends. And I'll tell you, it is imperative for our advancement in spiritual life that we have good quality equal friends. And I'll tell you, this is the most difficult one. Most difficult to have equals as friends because they behave with us the way they should. They kind of purify us a lot. You know? Therefore, let me say, so at that level, if we can really grow deep friendship, we can really develop respectful friendship, if we can really develop encouraging friendship, then we can grow. My personal observation has been, my greatest learning has happened when I have seen seniors dealing with each other. You know? I mean, when seniors deal with themselves, that means for them they are equals. I have learned the most in my spiritual life just by observing seniors deal with one another. Because seeing the level of respect and appreciation they have for one another, I learned this is what it means to have Vaishnava dealings. It's very easy to have Vaishnava dealings with seniors, and it's very easy to have Vaishnava dealings with juniors. But it is extremely difficult to have Vaishnava dealings with equals. And therefore, Sangha essentially means friendship among like-minded people, among equals who are like-minded. They can really help us and uplift us in our spiritual lives. So, and the third thing is known as Seva. Seva essentially means some kind of service contribution where you're doing something selfless. So, when we do Seva, we get purified fast. And then there is sadhana. Sadhana essentially means that sadhana is essentially practice. Sadhana essentially is contact with sound vibration. So the more we have contact with sound vibration, the faster our spiritual development happens. So therefore we chant 2 hours in the morning every day, so that we have 2 hours of contact. What is the morning program essentially? The morning program essentially is 5 hours of contact with sound vibration. That is essentially what the morning program is. Prabhupada has created the whole morning program in such a powerful way. 5 hours, you are only having contact with sound vibration. And that sound vibration is what is purifying us. That sound vibration is what is going to uplift us. And therefore, the more we have contact with sound vibration, the faster we get purified and the faster we get uplifted. And finally, Sankirtan means outreach, where we are trying to give the holy name to the world. So, all this siksha, sangha, seva, sadhana is actually internalizing a lot. And Sankirtan is about giving what you have internalized to the world. So, Sankirtan is also a very important part of spiritual development. So, when somebody has these four things, physical, emotional, intellectual and spiritual development, such a person, you can say, is self-developed. So, in addition to self-development, there is loving relationships. So, in loving relationships, first thing is that we need to choose the right person to be with. So essentially, self-development is about developing all your faculties within you, and loving relationship is about using those faculties in connecting with the world. So there are many people who are extremely good in self-development, perfect bhajanandis, but they cannot connect to the world. They are loners, you know, they are loners, because this is not complete. And there are many people who may have self-development and who may have loving relationships with the world, but they don't do this. What is service attitude? Service attitude essentially gives you what is known as satisfaction, job satisfaction we call it, you know, in the corporate terms. I will give you a formula. This is the formula that I help, that I teach the corporate world. And, this is the formula that I give to the corporate world. This formula works in the corporate world and it also works in this one world. And this is the formula of how you can experience satisfaction in spiritual life. And I tell you, if you just meditate on this formula nicely, this is like a flowchart. If you meditate on this flowchart nicely, you will really understand what is the meaning of why we are either satisfied or we are not satisfied in spiritual life. You know, think about it, you know, and you will get this clue. So, this I'm just writing this formula here. First is knowledge. From knowledge comes willpower. From willpower comes confidence. From confidence comes courage to take initiatives. From the courage to take initiatives comes self-satisfaction. And from self-satisfaction comes self-motivation. And self-motivation leads you to acquire more knowledge. This is a formula. Let me explain to you this, how this works. In life, let's say for example, somebody enters into the corporate world. Somebody enters into a new job. So for that person, the first thing he needs is knowledge. You know, whoever is the senior or whoever he joins with, that fellow has to give him complete knowledge of what the job is. Only when he has complete knowledge, he develops willpower. Knowledge is power, they say, right? From knowledge develops willpower, and from willpower develops confidence. So generally what happens, here only problem starts. The senior doesn't give full knowledge transfer to the junior. He gives half and half knowledge, you know. So the moment you give, you get only half knowledge, you have no confidence only to do something. So same thing happens in a spiritual organization also. When somebody comes in, you don't give full knowledge. You give half knowledge to the fellow. And from when knowledge transfer is not complete, willpower, confidence will not be there. And when you have confidence, you develop the courage to take initiatives. You try to do something new. Suppose some service is given to you. And if you do not have complete knowledge of the service, where confidence will come? So most of the time what happens is that you are told, do this service. But the full knowledge is not given how to do that service. So this fellow, he goes with half knowledge and he's thinking, what should I do, what should I not do, you know? And then he doesn't have confidence. And when he doesn't have confidence, where will he have the courage to take a new initiative? When somebody has full knowledge, and that person, because of having knowledge, has willpower, and because of having willpower, has confidence in himself, and because of their confidence, he develops the courage to take an initiative. I will do the service in this way. It may be a totally new way to do it, but because he has full confidence of the whole what is needed, he takes an initiative. And when he takes an initiative, he feels it. If the initiative he has taken works, then he feels self-satisfied. And from the self-satisfaction comes self-motivation. I want to do more. You know, I want to do more. And how does he do more? He goes and acquires more knowledge. So it's like a cycle, you know. So if you want to inspire somebody to take up some service and feel happy about it, first empower him completely. Give him full understanding of what needs to be done and how it needs to be done. And then, so essentially, what is service attitude? Service attitude essentially is occupational contribution. That means you use your skills in such a way that you feel satisfied. That here is a place where my every skill, every ability, and my intelligence is appreciated. So when a person feels like that fellow, he'll never give up, you know, that service, because he feels that, you know, I'm completely expressing myself through my service, you know. So essentially, if you see self-development, loving relationship, and service attitude, the three combined together is known as self-expression. So when somebody comes, yes, please.
I feel very happy that you say certain qualities, okay, is applied for the corporate world and the spiritual world.
Yes.
I'm also opinion, okay, I'm also from the corporate environment.
Yeah.
Okay, but very often, as far as service attitude is concerned, okay, there's also the aspect of discipline. And very often have a senior devotee say, you are from the corporate, we are not a company here. We are spiritual movement. So yes, I'm just passing the message to you. Okay? You are having me. I'm to place this attitude very
yes.
often, from,
yeah.
especially from senior devotees.
Yeah, yeah.
And I feel very disturbed and
you're
I
right.
don't know what.
You and I face it.
So let me explain to you how I understand it. See, it's like this. Yes, we are not in a corporate environment. We are in a spiritual environment. In the corporate environment, it's result-oriented. But spiritual environment is love-oriented. So, though results are important, but more important than results is harmony, is loving relationships. So, whenever loving relationships are emphasized over results, there is a problem. That's the unhealthy part of the corporate side. Yes, the corporate side has its advantages in terms of result coming, you know. But it also has disadvantages because nobody loves one another in the corporate environment. So from that perspective, if it is seen, it's right. But if it is, so basically, we should not be non-corporate. It's not that we should not be non-professional, you know. We should be professional in our approach. But along with being professional, we also should also have that subtle aspect of being loving and caring, you know. So wherever the loving and caring thing is compromised, Yes, we don't want that, you know, into our Krishna conscious society. But yes, along with being loving and caring, if we can also be, I mean, have the streamlined effect of the corporate world, it's welcome, definitely. I know sometimes in a spiritual, you know, this is one of the problems in the in a voluntary organization. In a voluntary organization, everybody is doing, you know, work free of charge, you know. So you can't question anybody, you know. So inspiring, so you know, it's easier to get things done in the corporate world.
Yeah.
Because you pay money and get the thing done. If after it doesn't work, kick him out.
Yeah.
In an ISKCON society, in a voluntary organization, what will you do? Who will you kick out, you know? Everybody is doing everything free. Everybody is doing everything voluntary. So therefore, in voluntary organizations, more important than systems is the system of inspiration. If you make perfect systems, but we don't have a system to inspire one another, then the systems will not work. Because voluntary organization completely works on inspiration. And inspiration comes by love. Inspiration comes by character. When people see that this fellow, this person, this devotee, it has strong character and strong ability to inspire, ready to give the life for that person. So that's how I see it. So what is service attitude essentially? When people come to Krishna consciousness, ask them what are their skills and what are their excellences. So essentially, what is bhakti? Bhakti essentially means devotional service. That's how Prabhupada translates the word bhakti as. So bhakti essentially means devotional service, which means that we have to use our psychophysical nature in serving Krishna. That is what bhakti essentially means. That means every person who comes into our movement, find out how that person's skills and excellences can be engaged in Krishna service. And if you can engage that person's skills and excellences in Krishna service, that person will feel that I have contributed. And when a person feels I have contributed with my skills and excellences, that person will want to stay. So essentially, self-expression is the most important thing for a devotee to advance in one's spiritual life. Self-development, loving relationships, and service attitude. Wherever the combination of these three things exist, there growth will happen. This is the most basic stage of spiritual life. This is called as modeling. I will explain to you what the whole thing is. So, if I put the whole thing in another context, the highest form of self-development is known as Namaruchi. The highest form of loving relationships is known as Vaishnava Seva. And the highest form of service attitude is known as Jiva Daya. So essentially, these three are the most basic needs of spiritual life. These are the most basic aspects of spiritual life. So, Namaruchi, Vaishnava Seva and Jiva Daya. And when one does self-development, what he experiences is known as happiness.
Jiva Daya.
When one is properly self-developed, he experiences happiness in his life. That means when one has experienced Namaruchi, or when he is completely self-developed, that means physically, emotionally, intellectually, and spiritually, he is developed. He is a developed person. Then such a person experiences happiness. Now tell me one thing. What are we talking about first? We are talking about how to become good preachers. But, as I told you, a good preacher is a happy devotee. If a person doesn't experience happiness in his life, in his spiritual pursuits, then the person cannot go further in the model. The model crashes there only. So, the highest form of self-development is Namaruchi, and essentially what is self-development? It leads to happiness. And what does Vaishnava Seva lead to? Vaishnava Seva leads to
I can use this to rub.
Manohan?
Yes.
This time. So essentially, Vaishnava Seva leads to experience of love, and Jiva Daya leads to experience of success. So what is the meaning of complete self-expression? Complete self-expression essentially means the person feels happy, the person feels loved, and the person feels successful. When a person experiences all these three things, that means that person has full self-expression. That means when a person is fully allowed to express himself or herself, he has to feel these three. So what is spiritual life essentially? We have to encourage self-development, we have to encourage loving relationships, and we have to encourage service attitude. So this is the basic foundation for you to be a preacher. So now I will take you to the next aspect of
Good. Thank you.
So essentially, so far what we have discussed is known as modeling. I'll just make a chart over here. This is a excuse me for my inability to draw nicely. These are supposed to be fruits, by the way.
Fruits.
So, preaching essentially has four limbs. Green. So these are the four limbs of preaching. The first limb is known as modeling. So essentially, the first thing for us to become good preachers is that we have to be good models. What does it mean of modeling? Then that doesn't mean that we walk on the ramp. You know, that's not what fashion. That's not what fashion modeling. You know. It's about internal modeling. So essentially, a good preacher has to become a good model. So now, this modeling is a root of preaching. Now, what is this modeling? Essentially, modeling means this. Essentially, for anybody to become a good preacher, one has to have proper self-development, proper loving relationships, and proper service attitude. So that's why I spent so much time, you know, discussing what is self-expression. So essentially, if anybody says, I want to do preaching, first thing is find out whether that person is self-developed. Find out whether the person has strong loving relationships.
and when the person has proper service attitude. If the person has all the three stable, then one has the root of what good preaching needs. The root of good preaching needs modeling. Then the second level of what is preaching essentially is known as mentoring. Mentoring is about creating inroads. Mentoring is about creating inroads to people's hearts. That means mentoring is a way to enter people's hearts. See, what is preaching? Preaching has a very broad understanding. What is preaching? Preaching means you are getting into somebody's life and changing the person's life completely. You understand? Every person is standing at the gate of self-change. Nobody wants to change himself or herself. You tell somebody, I'm coming to you to change you completely. That will run away. Nobody, everybody is standing personally on the gate of self-change. They don't want to change themselves. They will only allow that gate to be accessed if they have complete trust in somebody. They have complete trust in somebody, then they will say, come, come into my heart. Change me. So essentially what we are trying to do is we are trying to change a person completely. And if you want to change a person completely, you have to get into that person's heart. That is what is known as mentoring. So essentially what is mentoring? Mentoring is about care, love, appreciation. So that means when there can be, so how do you get into people's hearts? You get into people's hearts if you care for them and if you genuinely love them. So essentially when there is care, respect, encouragement, loving exchanges, appreciation, forgiveness, when all these concepts are there, that is known as mentoring. But the problem with mentoring is, it's very easy to give care, love, affection one time or once in a while. But very difficult to give love, care, appreciation all the time. So what is mentoring essentially? You have to give this care, love and affection, appreciation unconditionally. And uninterruptedly. So, when you graduate a life member, when you want to go to somebody for donation, very easy to give love, a lot of love, care, affection, you know. You take Mahaprasad, you take gift for the fellow, you take everything. That guy knows this was come for this only. Why? It is conditional and it is interrupted. Once and here it comes up. You understand? What is preaching? Giving love, care, affection, appreciation unconditionally and uninterruptedly. That means if that fellow does not give you anything, you still give him love, care and affection. Because you don't give him love, care and affection because you want something from him, but because you want to genuinely help him get connected with Krishna. Tell me one thing, ask any of yourself this question. Why have we come to the Hare Krishna movement? We have not come to the Hare Krishna movement because every year somebody used to come to take donation from us. Because somebody gave us love, affection, appreciation, which has been unconditional and uninterrupted. You see, any of your connection with your spiritual master, with anybody who is a Siksha Guru, you know, just see the exchange. Any genuine spiritual connection has to be this. Unconditional and uninterrupted. So if somebody finds that this fellow has given me a lot of love, but sometimes he avoids me completely, he looks like, doesn't look at me only, then the trustworthiness goes away. Essentially, what mentoring does is it creates trustworthiness. the person feels, this fellow can be trusted with my life. That is essentially what mentoring is. If somebody feels that I can trust this person with anything, he is not going to judge me, he is not going to criticize me, he is not going to pull me down, he is going to uplift me, he is going to help me, he is going to stand by my side, then the person says, this is the person I want to be with. Now, the third part of what is good preaching is known as organizing. So organizing has two parts, internal and external. Internal organizing means that your words, thoughts and actions are organized. So essentially what it means is that an external organizing means facilities and culture is organized. So essentially what it means is that when a person finds that the fellow who is going to preach internally is organized, that means what he speaks, what he thinks is what he speaks, and what he speaks is what he does. There's an alignment in his thinking, speaking and actions. Then the person says, this fellow is organized. Many times it happens that, you know, preachers are not organized internally. So one fellow will ask a question. After some time, somebody else will ask a question. This fellow conflicts his own answer and he starts a fight, you know. He'll do this also right. You know, it's gone philosophy is something like, you know, ultimately nothing works, you bring Achintya Veda Vedatva. Throw it as a bomb, you know. Achintya Veda, nothing, everything inconceivable. And the fellow gets completely bewildered, you know. So, unless a preacher is internally organized, that means he has actually meditated on whatever he is going to speak a lot. He has meditated on whatever he is going to present, you know. And internally he is following it himself. Till then, when you present, you will be unorganized. You know, so a person can make out, a new person can make out, something is wrong with the soul. You know, he's not fully organized, you know. So many times, we are told to give classes. And we come only with the Paramatma as our help, you know. We think that Krishna is going to help me completely, give my class. And then you start meditating, praying, you know, after sitting on the Vyasasan. You know, Paramatma, please give me the strength and intelligence to speak. And you speak anything that comes out of the mouth, you know, one by one. So audience comes to know, this fellow is completely unprepared. Audience will of course respect you because they respect everybody sitting on the Vyasasan, you know. But if you really want to preach effectively to people, see what happens, older devotees who have been connected to the Hare Krishna movement for many years, they will appreciate this. But you want to get new people into the Hare Krishna movement, this will not do. This will just not do. There has to be internal organization. There has to be internal, you know, there's an alignment between your words, thoughts and actions. And therefore, one of the reasons people stay away from the Hare Krishna movement is because they feel there's nothing organized. Everything is spontaneous, you know. So they can't connect. Because in the outside world, everything is systematic and organized. Everything is perfect, you know. But when they come to the, to a spiritual organization, they expect the same thing. And if we can give the same thing, then they will find this alignment here. So first is internal organization and second is external organization. External organization means you should organize the facilities and you should organize the culture rightly. Typically what happens in a ISKCON program is that something or other goes missing. You know, like one time we had organized a program in Goa and there were 150 students coming for the program. Prasad was there, preacher was there, everything was perfect, you know. But the prasad, when they got it, they forgot to bring serving spoons. Now everything is there, but serving spoon is not there. How many serve dal without a serving spoon, you know? So you understand? Basically, not just internal organization, but also externally will be organized. Now, after modeling, mentoring, and organizing comes teaching. What is teaching? Teaching.
Culture, you say culture.
Yeah, I'm saying that facilities and culture means
there has to be a proper setup in organizing things. You understand? Means there has to be things systematically present. That's what the culture of, see, we have a culture in presenting ourselves, no? So the culture also has to be honest. Like for example, if you want to do Guru Puja to Srila Prabhupada, you know, you start doing Guru Puja, then you start, you figure out, flowers you forgot to bring. Then you start running, you know, to get flowers. You understand? So not just internal organization, there is external organization also. So that means people have to see alignment. That means, see, I tell you, what is the sign of love? The sign of love is in details.
Yeah.
The more detail you can go into organizing something, that much you love the people you are organizing it for. As simple as that. So what is preaching? If preaching is supposed to be a sign of love, that means how organized are you and how detailed are you going into organizing things? The more detail you go into, the more there is love. That's essentially what you know, organizing is. So modeling, mentoring, organizing. Then comes teaching. What is teaching? Teaching is the fruit. Modeling is the root, mentoring is the trunk, organizing is the branches, and teaching is the fruit. What is teaching essentially? Do this. That is teaching. Follow the four radiant principles. Chant Hare Krishna. That is teaching. Now, most people are enthusiastic about teaching when they come to Hare Krishna movement. When they say preach means, they will go and start teaching. You understand?
Yes.
That fellow will first ask, you are teaching me something. First of all, are you organized? First of all, are you a proper mentor? Do you give me care? Do you give me love? Why should I listen to you? And more than that, what about you? Are you following it yourself? If you are not following it yourself, why should I listen to you? If you don't give me care and love, why should I listen to you? And if you don't facilitate me in properly understanding the philosophy, why should I listen to you? So, what happens in this whole structure is that these are three sutras we need to remember to make this model work. First is, one is not enough. That means, it's not that I will only do one of the three, one of the four. One is not enough. You have to do all four. M-F-O-T. Modeling, mentoring, organizing and teaching. So it means, one is not enough. It's not that I only want to do modeling. That means I will follow perfectly myself and forget the world. That's not going to help create good preaching. It is not that I will only give love. Anybody who comes to me, I'll give unlimited love to that fellow. Nothing is going to happen through only that. And the third thing, I will only organize everything perfectly. I don't care about mentoring, I don't care about modeling. That also will not work. And fourth thing will definitely not work. I will only teach. Whoever comes to me, Yare Deko Tare Ko Krishna Padesh. I have Krishna Padesh with me and I'm going to flood the fellow's life with it, you know. You might do it, but does the flow will become a devotee or no is doubtful. So the point is, it's not, one is not enough, the second one is more important. Once is not enough. You can't say, that day I give you love. So you have to become devotee now, you know. It doesn't work like that. You have to give love constantly. So it's not, you can't say that day I was a perfect model. What about today? I don't know. Today I'm in a different mood, you know. That doesn't work. So one is not enough and once is not enough. And the more important thing is that we have to follow it in the same order. MMOT. That means you have to first become a model. And then you have to give care, you have to become a mentor, and then you have to become an organizer, and then you become a teacher. The same order has to be followed. So essentially, if you just understand this whole system, then we know what good preaching is. So good preaching is about first developing your self-expression. Self-development, loving relationship and service attitude. First, you be happy, you experience love and you experience success. When you experience all the three, then you can go into mentoring. If you don't experience love, how can you give love? Doesn't make sense. You will not experience love in your life, how will you give love to others? It's not possible. So therefore, there has to be modeling first and then mentoring. And mentoring creates trustworthiness. If people find that there is consistent care, love, affection from a person coming, then they want to open their heart to that person. And especially if that person is organized also, then they are ready to give their life to that person. So essentially, this is the model of good preaching. So we can open it up for questions now.
Yes, sir.
Any questions, comments? Not understood something, we can discuss. Yes.
Whatever you explain is very, very interesting and very practical. But can we know, like, on which, how do you get all these models to fit in our Krishna consciousness form? What are the sources, the tapping you've done to bring it? Because we never see it, like in Prabhupada's books. I'm not saying this is not good, this is very good. Mm. But my question is, where are the sources? Where's coming from?
The sources are all over there. I can give you a source for everything that I spoke over here, from Prabhupada's books only.
Okay.
I have only, you know, kind of put it in the proper boxes. This is, it's not that this is made up, you know, suddenly Subho Vilas Das got up in the morning and he got a new idea, you know, MMOD model. It's not like that. This is based on Prabhupada's books, and it's only that it is there in different places in Prabhupada's books. I just kind of brought it together in a system so that it's practical, basically. But if you go and study, I mean, every word I spoke is there in Prabhupada's books, in a systematic, in different places, you know. Am I wrong?
Yes, no, you're
it's there, right?
No,
it's anybody didn't find any of these things in Prabhupada's books? You can tell me.
Everything is there.
Everything is there. Everything is there.
Excuse me, Prabhupada. Once I was reading in the...
Oh my God.
Yeah. Because it's too hot inside.
Okay.
So, it was mentioning in the Samskara book,
right,
written by a French devotee, I think.
Yeah.
He said that we should conserve the scriptures, and then after reading what is there, the scriptures, we can make our own conclusion on what we have read.
Yeah.
And that conclusion is not necessarily what is written exactly in the scripture. So
it's a fact. Basically, the scriptures do allow us to present it in the time, place and circumstance, you know, which is practical. Like, I do a lot of corporate training, you know. I give talks in corporates which any top level corporate organization can appreciate it. Leadership talks and things like that. Everything I speak is based on the scriptures. I may not quote verses from the scriptures when I'm doing corporate talk, but it is there, the Siddhanta is there in the scriptures. You understand? So it just has to be repackaged. See, what happens is, you know, in today's world is a world of packaging. If package is bad, content is good, they don't accept. People see the package first, then they see the content. So, unfortunately, in ISKCON, we have always been focusing so much on the content that we have never focused on the package. And therefore, all other organizations who have no content, they are very successful because their packaging is good. So, I personally feel it is high time now we work on the package also, because the content is already good, you know. So, presently, what I'm trying to do is, whenever I do my presentations, I work on the package also, along with the content. You will find a 3-day Ramkatha. The kind of slides and the kind of presentation that I am doing, you would have never heard it before. You will say, "Arey, hey, Prabhuji, what happened to this, you know, devotee? He's gone out of the ISKCON box." It's not like that. I'm in the ISKCON box very much, but only I have worked a little bit on the packaging nicely. And people appreciate it more. You know, that's the only thing.
Yeah.
So it's basically based on the maxim like according to time, place, not so.
Yes.
We are just talking.
And I also seen that this works.
Yes.
You know, in my preaching in, efforts in, you know, in different places, I've seen that this works. And I've seen that tangible transformation is there in people's lives when we follow this model in this way, you know. And that's what I find working in any place where the model is successful, preaching model is successful, you go and study that place, you'll find this automatically there. You'll find this automatically. They will not know exactly this way, but this is the formula that works, you know, directly.
To be honest and frank, I'm really convinced, but just I wanted to know that.
Yeah, yeah, thank you. You
know,
thank you for asking.
Because I'm impressed, I want to just know.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Anybody else? Any other question? Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Very interesting presentation. One question I have is, to be a preacher, you have to have all these, right? And is it that unless and until you acquire your fully accepted job, you're having a relationship and mentoring, you cannot preach.
So Prabhu, it's like this. This is all work in progress. In all levels, we are work in progress, basically. So, and the point is that ideally, it is best if we are fully self-developed, then we start preaching. Ideally. But unfortunately, the need today is so strong that we cannot wait to be fully self-developed. But we can never ever think that we don't have to stop. We have to stop training ourselves, you know. We will never reach a stage where we have to stop training ourselves. But at the same time, we know our limitations. When we see this model, we know where our limitations are and where we have to work. And if people look at us in a certain way, we should tell that person very clearly, I am working on myself. If you find a flaw in me, it's not a flaw in the philosophy. It's a flaw in me. You understand? So people really appreciate somebody who is honest about his weakness. And people really hate somebody who is, you know, arrogant about himself. So when you tell, I am working on myself and I am helping you. So it's not, I'm not telling I'm perfect. I'm telling I'm working on myself, you know. They will really appreciate you a lot. Yes,
please. Yes, Rudy, what we have seen, okay, then like what Prabhuji said, I'm fully convinced, there is no doubt about it. But one idea, I'm just putting a question. Is there not any possibility that we have a sort of checklist with a sort of A4 paper with main point and that must be followed by devotees who are involved in preaching and have this vetted and approved by gurus, by TBCs, so that we can, because we have seen, we have witnessed many senior devotees or many devotees who are doing preaching, but instead of doing positive preaching, we are getting negative results. So, and for us, it's a bit difficult for us to go and deal with these things. But if we have a sort of authorized rules and regulations, or authorized means, and say, Prabhu, you are not doing as per this authorized rules and regulations or list approved, etc. I don't know. I'm just.
So my understanding of preaching is the result is your best authorization. The result that you get from your preaching is actually the best way you can judge a person's model, basically. I'll tell you, if a person is not following this model, he will not be able to give results. He will not be able to give results from the point of view of transforming people's hearts. So now, yes, in one way you can make a model, you can make a list of rules and regulations, you know, to say who can preach and who can't preach. I don't know whether I am qualified to make those rules and regulations because I should be first of all following all of them. So I personally feel let people preach. And from the result, you'll be able to understand who is really following and who is not.
Yes, but the problem, Prabhuji, if we let
people preach, okay, let them preach. The problem is that the negative result that we are having about the preaching is causing us more trouble or more inconvenience than
the problem is, that's why I'm saying, the problem is that ISKCON is a voluntary organization. When everybody is going free, how can you stop the fellow? You can say, just stop preaching. The fellow will be over you. You understand?
Yeah.
So the point is that, you know, see, my personal opinion is that instead of putting a person in a box, let the result of that person's preaching speak not for itself. I'll tell you, bro, my experience has been that if anybody is deviating from the standards that is recommended, and if anybody is not able to follow the right model, that person cannot produce effective results. Not possible. And even if he produces effective results now, it is going to be short-lived. Because I'll tell you, one of the challenges in ISKCON in terms of preaching is that you can preach with your skills and things like that to get a person to a level of 16 rounds. You cannot take a person above that. So, so basically, you cannot take a person above that. So there are many, there is one place in Nectar of Instruction that Prabhupada says in the purport, he says that a Kanishta, when he preaches, he can take a conditioned soul to his level, he can bring him to his level. So a Kanishta Adhikari can bring a conditioned soul to the level of Kanishta. He cannot make an ordinary soul into a Madhyam or Uttam. He can only uplift him to the extent to which he is. So you might say that, you know, array, this person is preaching, he is not following, but he is, you know, getting results also. The results you see from the point of view of quality also, you know. You might bring a lot of people into the movement, but is he able to uplift them beyond his level, which is not possible. So therefore, my suggestion is that, first of all, we are an voluntary organization. So we cannot put rules and regulations saying that you can't preach. But what we can do is that, if you are sure that this person is not following a certain standard that is required in order to be able to produce results, see now how much he is able to actually do. At some point of time, that person himself will get fed up. Because he will see that empowerment is not coming. Because not all preaching happens by skills only. Lot of preaching happens by kripa. And kripa comes only when there is the right attitude. So you... Pardon?
No, I was just saying Haribo.
So, I personally feel that, you know, because of the nature of our society, we cannot put too many rules and regulations. And also what happens is, the spirit of preaching gets watered down if you put too many rules and regulations, you know. There is the difference between Niyam Agraha and Niyam Agraha, you know. Too much following rules and regulations and not following the rules and regulations at all, you know. It's not many times bounces between the two. Put so many rules and regulations that fellow will, you know, feel like not preaching only. Or you have no rules and regulations that fellow will like doing anything. You know, both are extremes. So somewhere in between, we need inspiration. And inspiration is, it's actually a very flexible tool, but it's a result-oriented tool. We will find results coming. Yes,
Prabhu, under heading self-development, we have the first item, physical. Can you lay some emphasis on the physical aspect with illustrations?
Prabhupada said swimming and what other thing Prabhupada said? Yoga. Prabhupada spoke about swimming and yoga essentially as physical tools. Prabhupada had a massage every day, you know, for almost 12 years he did heavy massage. He did walking every day. For at least 11 years he did walking, right, every day. That was his physical development, you know. So, devotees according to the need, time, grace, circumstance, you need to work out what is good for you. Pranayam, yoga, you know, asanas, whatever works. Somebody like to go to the gym, go. But provided you don't go into a mode of passion, basically. But something that is tangible, which keeps your body fit, but at the same time, it keeps you continuing your spiritual.
earlier you quoted from the verse, Yadu Gita, Darikaham Krishna Upadesh. So, we see that people like, I would say like me, busy with material affairs, we sometimes forget that we have to preach. So my question is, how to constantly remind ourselves that we need to preach, we need to pass on Krishna's message.
So, the inspiration to preach comes by cultivating gratitude. The inspiration to preach comes by cultivating gratitude. So when you feel grateful to the person who brought you into the process of Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada said, the best way to express your gratitude towards me is to preach. So if you are really inspired and want to show your gratitude towards the person who brought you into the Hare Krishna movement, the best way is to get somebody to become grateful. The cycle of gratitude should continue. That's the best way to be inspired. So you have become grateful to somebody. Somebody should become grateful to you. And that person should become grateful to this fellow. You know? So that cycle continues. So as long as you can keep the cycle of gratitude continuing, preaching will continue. So the first best way to really be able to preach is be grateful. If you're grateful, you will want to correct somebody else.
Well, first I would like to thank you for your nice presentation. But there's something here in which you mentioned about the relationship between like the senior devotees, junior devotees, and the equivalents, right? How did you determine who is senior, who is junior, who is equal?
Age criteria and number of years in the Hare Krishna movement is one criteria. That's not the right criteria. The right criteria is the one who inspires you by his and his or her actions, words and thoughts is a senior. So I personally feel that is a better way to count that. Of course, no doubt about it that age, number of years in the Hare Krishna movement and their situation in the Hare Krishna movement is also a criteria for somebody being a senior. Whether you know their advancement or not, because there are many devotees, you only know their names, you don't know how exalted they are, so you may from that point of view, practical point of view, you have to consider them as to be seniors only, though you don't know them at all.
Sir,
yeah.
I have a few questions on this, right?
Yes.
At times we have, if you calculate in terms of age or times of initiation, right? That person, that devotee, may have liked it, but he's a practicing.
Yeah.
Right? So, should he be considered like a senior, or like at times you have like someone just coming to the movement in terms of realization, you can learn much more from them.
Yeah.
Like, who is senior? The one who has just come, or the one who has been there for long but not practicing?
So, basically, somebody who has been for a long time and he's not been practicing now, because of whatever situation of his or her life, if that person has rendered valuable service in the past, that person continues eternally to be our senior, may not be to follow, but to respect.
Okay.
So anybody who has rendered valuable service to the Hare Krishna movement, even if they are not having any proper standards now, we still, till the point of time they live, we continue respecting them because of that contribution. Because of that contribution that they have done in the past, we are here now. So for that, we respect them. But we not necessarily follow them, And for somebody who is following now, and for somebody who is really practicing a life of substance, we respect them and we follow them also. So that is the way I see it. Because it is not right to not respect somebody.
Last contributed.
Yes. In fact, even Krishna, for that matter, if anybody has done one bit of service once, Krishna respects that person forever, And so does Srila Prabhupada. We have seen so many of his disciples who have fallen away. Srila Prabhupada coming back to them at the last moment of their life, So basically, what to speak of such people? The concept of the Bhagavad and the Gita tells us to respect every living entity. We are supposed to respect every living entity because every living entity is the ansh of the Lord, and the Paramatma resides in that person's heart. So those living entities who have rendered valuable service to the Lord and His pure Vaishnavas, they have special place in the heart of the Lord, whatever their condition may be now. Therefore, we respect them for that special place that they occupy. Make sense for you?
Yeah, this question came again. Because for me personally, it is much easier to accept everybody as your senior, their very humble position. Right? But suppose it's into practice, what you just said, that 20, 20, 60%, you know? This is how I'm thinking.
So, ideally, it is best if you accept everybody as senior and advanced.
Okay.
That is ideal. Because from that perspective, you can learn from everyone. Uh-huh. You know, anybody you can learn from is a senior, you know.
Sure.
You can learn from a small child also. So from that perspective, yes, we learn from everybody. But just from a practical, down-to-earth perspective, sometimes what happens is, I keep the philosophy a little aside.
Yes.
And I get into practical, you know.
Application.
You know. So for that, I said that. Mm-hmm. But from a philosophical level, yes, we respect everybody, you know.
Okay.
But from a practical, down-to-earth level, how do you associate? I kind of broke it down into three parts. But not from a philosophy. From a philosophical level, you know, mm-hmm. You're right.
Thank you.
So we have time for one more. It's okay.
You are mentioning that devotees among equals, they tell you what all your defects. You can say what are shortcomings. But the spiritual master, he also knows what are shortcomings.
The question is, how much obsession of spiritual master do you have? How much association with the spiritual master do you have? Hardly.
Very less.
Yeah. So therefore, you know, many times it is recommended that one should consider one equals also as a representative of the spiritual master. Anybody who helps us purify ourselves is a representative of the spiritual master. So we can see it from that perspective also.
Okay, Mr. Mahan, you are my spiritual master.
I am extremely grateful to all of you all for coming and patiently listening. If something I spoke in this whole few hours helped you all in your personal practice as well as your preaching, I consider that to be my greatest fortune. Tomorrow we will continue this session where we will discuss down-to-earth aspects of preaching also. And we could also discuss more question answers about, you know, what you have heard today and what other challenges we face in preaching, you know, in Mauritius specifically or in wherever you are preaching. We can discuss that also. And we could also, I could also suggest some system that will help you understand what really is preaching and what is not preaching, you know. So many times what happens is that we have a very vague idea of what preaching is and we don't find results coming. So we should know what system works and what system doesn't work. And you know, basically Prabhupada always said that preaching means results. So if you are preaching, results should come, you know. So that's a very powerful way to judge yourself whether you are really preaching or not, you know. So from that model, that statement of Prabhupada, if we take it, we will have to analyze our preaching model and I can give suggestions and you know we can discuss how we can actually help as many people as possible come and connect to the Hare Krishna movement. And I can share some of my experiences that I have we have seen in the last so many years, and we can see what works here. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Hare Krishna.